you down. Snarly, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt.
Go tell that long time.
Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and boy, was there a lot of it made yesterday. The biggest story that broke, it broke in the evening. The FBI, by Trump's own admission in a press release, raided his home at Mar-a-Lago yesterday. Now, raid is a vernacular. It's kind of a trite phrase that people love to use, journalists love to use. What happened was they executed a search warrant. They went in. When you execute a search warrant, the recipient of your affections has no say over it. I'm going to talk about this in a couple of different layers and contexts. First of all, the mechanics, how it was happened, or how it happened, why it happened, and so forth. Second, the potential consequences. And then third, the reaction from the Republican Party and Trump. So let's just start with the mechanics of it. At some point yesterday, FBI agents showed up at Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago is a resort, but Trump has apartments or a home at Mar-a-Lago. Trump was not in Mar-a-Lago at the time. He was in New York City, where he's preparing to give testimony in a case where he's required to give a deposition against allegations that he committed financial fraud. And his children were up there with him because several of them have been subpoenaed in New York also. Trump is guarded by Secret Service. So when he travels, all retired presidents and their spouses and their minor children are covered by Secret Service protection, security. Well, they also left a Secret Service delegation at Mar-a-Lago to guard his apartment. So when he's gone, no one sneaks in and plants a bomb, that kind of thing. Can't have that. The UK is a lot more lax on that. They caught a guy on palace grounds with a crossbow out to kill Queen Elizabeth. I'm not kidding. Roaming around. I mean, in the United States, you would not have a guy on the White House grounds or anywhere near Biden, or frankly, anywhere near any former president roaming around with a crossbow. In any event, the FBI had contacted the Secret Service just beforehand to let them know they were going to execute a search warrant. So the Secret Service would have to let them in, and they did. Then the Secret Service stood guard outside while they conducted their search warrant. What is a search warrant? You've heard of it, a search warrant. Under the Fourth Amendment, you have a right to protection from unreasonable searches and seizures. But you don't have a right to protection from any search and seizure. And the way we define reasonableness is that if a law enforcement entity, can be a police department, can be the FBI, can be anybody, but connected with the government, wants to go in and search your premises or your office and take something, they have to get a judge to sign off on it, to sign a search warrant. They can't do it on their own. So they go before a judge with an affidavit setting out facts. In other words, it's under oath. Some FBI agent signs it. And it's filed in court. So this one day will come out. And it says, there is probable cause to believe that there is evidence crime at this location in Mar-a-Lago. And here is the crime. Here's the specific statute. And here is what we want to seize. The judge reads that and he can say, no, I don't think that's good enough. Or he can say, okay. In this case, he said, okay. That means that there's probable cause. Probable cause is a different standard from beyond a reasonable doubt. Beyond a reasonable doubt is what you have to convince juries of at a trial. But probable cause is more likely than not. That's the standard in a civil case, not a criminal case, to get a verdict. And what it means is probable cause means that people look at it and they say it's more likely than not that such and such occurred. Well, in this case, what was the statute? What was the crime? There was a lot of speculation early in the evening because there's a lot of different crimes that Trump is under investigation for. One is stealing documents from the White House that were classified, which is a felony, taking them with him. Number two is his involvement with the fake electors. That's obstructing Congress. Number three is his conduct with Raffensperger in Georgia, his extortion. And number four is his cheating federally insured banks in New York City, federally insured banks, by lying about valuations of his properties. Now, any one of those is a felony. In the course of the evening last night, it became apparent from various sources throughout the media that the focus on this raid, on this execution of the search warrant, was based on his having taken highly classified, in some cases, highly sensitive, top secret documents away from the White House, which is a felony, and just keeping them down there. They want them back. And what's the background of this? What's the background of this? The background of this is that when he left, there was evidence that he had flushed documents, some secret documents, down toilets in the White House. In a bizarre case, an aide said she walked by and he was chewing up a small note, not a large document, and swallowing it of some form or other. He didn't just throw it out in the garbage or for filing. But what happened was he left the White House January 20, 2020. It's over 2 years later. It's 2.5 years later. And the National Archives Service and the government intelligence agencies have been trying to get these documents back without trying to make too big a fuss if they could. They met with him and his lawyers a year ago. He returned 15 boxes and they met and he said that that's all he had. And some of the documents in those boxes were ripped up. But a lot of them were not, they're classified, but they wouldn't necessarily be top secret. The government, our intelligence services, has found out that he kept documents and they executed a search warrant to get those back. Now let's talk a little bit about that. This is an important issue. If he lied, or he and his lawyers conspired to lie and conceal the fact that he kept more documents, didn't tell the government and lied about having them, that's a felony, that's obstruction. But more to the point, what kind of documents would be so secret that the government would execute a search warrant? And he kept saying, oh, I'm a former president. Yeah, you are a former president. But if you're a Soviet spy, no longer Soviet, Russian, or if you're selling things or keeping it for blackmail, no one cares if you're a president or not. That's a felony. What are some of these documents or what could they be? He had access to the most sensitive secrets of the U.S. government and foreign policy. The CIA, when he came in, stopped briefing him on covert operations in Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and other governments around the world. We have spies. We have double agents in all those countries. We had one in Russia who was one of Putin's closest confidants, and he was working for us. When Putin would have a meeting, he'd tell everybody, okay, leave. I just want to meet with A, B, and C here. And one of them was our guy. When Trump was elected, the FBI and the CIA realized that at some point he would know who that was. And either on purpose or shooting his mouth off, would let the Russians know, they pulled the guy. They pulled our main spy against Putin to save his life. They initially briefed him on a confidant that we had with Al-Qaeda. It was the Israelis who had groomed this guy. The guy was an Arab, Sunni, inner circle of Al-Qaeda. And one day he told the Israelis, Al-Qaeda is now planning to use liquids to blow up airplanes. They found a way to have people bring in vials of liquids and then mix them up together in the bathroom, you know, several passengers, and blow up an airplane. The Israelis told us, and that saved some airplanes. That's why you can't have more than 3 ounces of any liquid going on an airplane right now. Before, you could have taken on a quart of coffee or anything you wanted, but even if it wasn't really coffee. Trump shut his mouth off. Trump was talking to Sergey Lavrov, foreign minister. They said, just confidentially, and of course he didn't have to say where he got the info, they're using liquids. The Russians immediately told their Muslim allies in the Middle East. The Israelis pulled a guy, a highly important plant in Al-Qaeda, because he would have been killed because Trump shut his mouth off. Trump, for instance, invited the Ruskies, including Sergey Lavrov, the foreign minister, to the White House with no Americans present, none. Not only no journalists, but no senators or congressmen from either party, and nobody in his own State Department. And just sat there chuckling and talking to them and telling them that he'd taken care of the Russia investigation by firing Comey. You know, I think he's a traitor. I think that he has collaborated with the Russians, but even if you don't think he did it on purpose, the guy's ego is beyond belief. Now, everybody has an ego, but I got to tell you something. If I or you or anybody were elected president, despite the controversy, the honor of that office would impress you. It would weigh on you. You'd be occupying an office that George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, occupied. This clown, when he first got in, said he would only do it part-time. He was going to keep some work at ABC and his TV show. And then, of course, he didn't do that. But he'd shoot his mouth off. He would shoot his mouth off, and he endangered our secret agents. The FBI, the CIA decided that they would, in their briefing, they would not give him confidential information that could conceivably compromise our undercover agents, because they didn't trust him. When Joe Biden had the Al-Qaeda guy assassinated the other day that the Taliban were hiding, it's customary to inform the last three living presidents confidentially. You call them up on a secure phone, you tell them, so that they're not taken by surprise and they don't make public statements. In this case, Biden called Obama, Biden called George W. Bush, but he did not call Trump, because he knew Trump cannot be trusted. So what were these documents? Trump had access to documents in the White House that showed nuclear strike targets in Russia in the event of a nuclear war. Memos that would say that this strike target is lightly guarded, but it's down for repairs. So if we had to strike in the next 30 days, they couldn't retaliate from that target. It might even show strike targets in Europe. Tell you something. Our Secret Service, or our CIA, listens in on phone calls with some of our allies. They were tapping Merkel's phone in Germany. And remember WikiLeaks? And remember the traitors that disclosed those emails that disclosed that? That was not Trump, but Trump had access to all that kind of thing. Trump, for instance, would have access to compromising information on foreign leaders. And this is very highly classified material that's eyes only for a handful of people. Now, How much, if any, of this did he steal? Did he take? And did he lie about it when he turned back 15 boxes and said, that's all I have, and a lot of them were ripped up? There will be an inventory. We can get into that after the break. There's a lot more to talk about this issue. And I'm going to talk about the shameful Republican response right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, the Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more to talk about the FBI execution of the search warrant, described by some as a raid, Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. This so-called raid, this execution of the search warrant, followed a fair amount of litigation on executive privilege. Those all won by the U.S. government. The Republican response so far has been this. Back in Wyoming, in an event in May, where Trump was appearing to support the opponent of Liz Cheney in a congressional primary, he urged the crowds, do not trust the FBI, CIA, or NSA. Now, this is a former president who said that Vladimir Putin was a genius, quote, for getting all that real estate in Ukraine for $2 in sanctions, end quote. This is the president that had Sergey Lavrov and a Russian delegation with no supervision or oversight by any American, forget journalists, not even his own State Department, anybody, alone in the White House, boasting to them that he'd gotten rid of the Russia problem because he fired Comey. This clown, once again, is attacking the FBI, CIA, and NSA. In Helsinki, remember, he had a press conference, and Vladimir Putin sat next to him, and they asked, what do you think about Vladimir Putin's hacking into the election in 2016? And Trump looked at Putin and said, well, Putin said he didn't do it. I don't know why he would lie to me. I trust him. Donald Trump cannot be trusted. And I'm telling you, Republicans, I'm telling you, MAGA types, whatever your view on issues, I respect that. You find another horse to ride. You're not going to find a communist horse. We're not going to permit that. It destroys this country. In any event, some of the commentators say, oh, well, you know, shouldn't have executed a search warrant because that'll rile up folks. That'll who? Rile up the QAnon shaman? The 800 or so people who are arrested and be spending time in jail for Trump's lathering them up to attack the Capitol. You know, they mentioned the Oklahoma City bombing. The Oklahoma City bombing was a reaction at the time to several things. One was at Ruby Ridge in Idaho, where sharpshooters from the government ended up hitting and killing the wife of a leader there. And down in Texas, there was the storming of some fundamentalist enclave, and people got killed, and people said enough's enough. And that was one reason, 1994, why Democrats did so poorly in the congressional elections. This is nowhere comparable to that. This investigation is coming out of the Miami field office, which has jurisdiction over Palm Beach, where Mar-a-Lago is. But this is not the extent, this is not the only reaction from the Republicans that is beyond shameful, beyond shameful. Here's Kevin McCarthy, and he's doing this so that he can be go from minority leader to speaker. He said, there will be payback. Oh, really? There'll be payback, will there, McCarthy? Quote, the Justice Department has reached an intolerable state of weaponizing and polarizing the FBI. Then he went on to say, we will leave no stone unturned when we get in to do the same to them. And I say this to Merrick Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. This is the clown McCarthy, the pro-Russian clown McCarthy. The CIA, strike that, the FBI director who is implementing this, Chris Wray, was appointed by Trump. He's a professional FBI guy. Paul Gosar belongs in prison. He's the one that put out the violent video that showed killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and injuring Joe Biden. He should have been charged for that. You don't do that, especially with a president. This guy is not an American. Here's what he said, quote, we must destroy the FBI, end quote. That's what Paul Gosar said. The Republican Party is pro-Russian. In the Senate, you have some cooler heads. They, except for Rand Paul and Josh Hawley, voted to admit Finland and Sweden to NATO. But that's not true in the House. The House has authoritarians, people who are well on the way to making the Republican Party a fascist cult. And when they say we must destroy the FBI, Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. And our lines are up, so if you can call in, go ahead. The lines are fixed on this end. I want to talk about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the raid on Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago. Trump put out a statement yesterday saying that his team and he are, quote, cooperating, end quote, with the FBI. Well, when the FBI and other people from the NSA met with him a year ago demanding the documents back, they gave him 15 boxes, and none of them were the really highly classified documents that the government knows are gone. And it's alleged falsely told them that's all they had, and some of the documents were ripped up. The government didn't believe him. Now, if you're dealing with somebody, if you're dealing with a target whom you trust, you can send a subpoena. Say, turn this stuff over, and if you trust them, they turn it over. Use a search warrant when you do not trust the target of what you're doing. You do not trust them. And no one trusts Donald Trump. There'll be an inventory, it's required by law, of what they took. You know, they can't just go in and take stuff and you don't know what they took. In most cases, the inventory will say, you know, 2 pounds of drugs, emails about sales of drugs, blah, 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 that kind of thing. In this case, what do you do if some of the documents taken are the most highly classified documents we have in government? What if he took things about targets of nuclear strikes in the event of war? What if there were documents that, even if they don't refer to an undercover agent, nevertheless have information in them that would let a foreign enemy figure out who that agent was? What if it's embarrassing material on foreign leaders? What if it's embarrassing material on Prince William or Macron of France or Merkel, now Schultz of Germany? If this gets out and they know that it's in America's possession, it can hurt alliances. It can also give valuable information to our enemies. Now, you're not going to put that in an inventory. You're not going to say, well, we went in, we took these documents, and here's what they said, because they're classified. So there will be two inventories. One inventory will be unclassified documents or any object that they took. Another one will be itself secret, will be filed in court for the judge's eyes only, and it'll be redacted, and it will not give information. You can say it's unusual to search the premises of a former president, but this former president has showed on repeated occasions that he has betrayed us to Russia in some cases shooting his mouth off, but in some cases on purpose. And he's capable of blackmail. If he has a document that would really cripple the United States, he's capable of using that in negotiations with Merrick Garland so as not to get prosecuted in return for not disclosing it. An interesting fact that came out last night, one very experienced FBI agent said, if you see dogs on leashes used by the FBI, you know, they're not there sniffing for drugs. Apparently, they've trained dogs to sniff for electronics. That means, and we don't know what the search warrant said. Does the search warrant provide that you have to be very specific in a search warrant. You can't just take a guy's phone. You have to say, I want his phone. That's where we think this evidence of criminality is. Or we want documents, that kind of thing. Are they going to take computers? Are they going to take phones? What if they're hidden? That's why they would have dogs. I'm going to be very curious to see if there were dogs in there. But that's the kind of thing that's going on. Trump has hired a lawyer named John Rowley, former federal prosecutor. He represented Congressman Scott Perry, a guy from Pennsylvania, who was one of the architects of the fraudulent scheme to overturn the election. He's represented other senior Trump officials. There is a characteristic of this investigation, that most people haven't centered on. And that is, alone almost among crimes, we're going to the lines. Who do we have on the line? I'm glad they're up again. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jean?
I didn't want to interrupt that important statement that you were saying, so please continue as soon as I hang up, will you please? And good morning, Matt, and thank you for the great job you're doing. And I hope everybody gets out and votes. But, you know, I'll tell you something. I was so excited, I couldn't turn the TV off. I was looking at all the different stations, coverages, everything that they were doing at Mar-a-Lago. Then I was sitting there, and I was looking at the Republicans, and I thought, the way that they were playing this out, oh, this is so unfair, and the statements that Trump made was idiotic. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when Scotty Walker broke the law, and they were investigating, and that woman that worked for him, you know, they knocked at her door, you know, and was very polite, because guess what? It was on tape, and she was running around saying how nasty they were to her and how, you know, how they just, you know, they were banging on her door, and it was amazing. And then when the truth came out, the tape of the way that she was really treated, it was amazing to me. Republican, I'm sorry, but, you know, this pains me to say negative things about Republicans because I used to have a lot of respect for them, and they were respectful years ago. You know, at age 67, I've been watching lots of politics and watching it live. And I have to say something, and I hope people who are supporting these yahoos to start watching live. Watch them when they're supposed to be working on bills or they're supposed to be working for the people. All they do is fight and obstruct. They've never tried to work on health care. They're just so negative on health care. They're negative on Social Security and Medicare. They're negative on taxing the wealthiest or making people pay a little bit of taxes who are living off the fat of the land and off the people and their health. You know, in all honesty, you know, people don't want pipelines that break underneath their water systems. But oh, no, we got a guy that's running.
Right, no, you're on a roll, Jean, and I agree with you, what you have to say. I'm especially interested in your good comments on the search at Mar-a-Lago. And the fact is, the most disturbing part of this is that the Republican Party almost unanimously, except for people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, have and Fox News in particular, the people that are doing this, have attacked, quote, Democrats, end quote, for this. Trump tried to equate the FBI with Democrats, even though he appointed the head of this FBI, Chris Wray. He's a Trump guy. And Trump claims that it's retaliation for his running in 2024. What he's getting at, and this is not the Democratic idea, this is the statute. The statute provides that if you commit a felony by stealing classified documents like this, you may not run for public office again. The idea is that if you have a mole, a Russian mole, Chinese mole, North Korean, Iranian, whoever our enemy is, back in the 1940s, it would have been a Japanese mole or a Nazi mole, and you sniff him out, they've stolen these documents, they can't run for office. Now, normally that would be a no-brainer. I mean, who would vote for these guys? So Trump's going, well, if they force me to give back these top secret documents I stole, then I won't be able to run for office again, and I won't be able to run for president. That's a statute that was passed by Democrats and Republicans and signed by presidents. That is the law. That is the law. And you have Paul Gosar saying that it's time to crush and destroy the FBI. The CPAC conference, they said they want to defund the FBI. They're the ones that want to defund the police. They're the ones that want to defund law enforcement, attack our CIA, attack our NSA. They are the ones. I'm going to get back to that inventory. What do you do if some of the documents he took deal with nuclear strikes, compromise information on foreign leaders who are friendly to us, compromising information that may not disclose the mole who gave it to us, but would give sufficient identifying data so that person could be arrested and tortured in China, Iran, or anywhere else, Russia? What do you do? What do you do? The 15 boxes of lightly classified material he gave back as a trick, as a ruse, that itself was a criminal offense. A lot of them torn up, but he still has stuff. They don't trust him, and that's why there was this search. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn Direct. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. There's a fascinating interplay between what happened in Mar-a-Lago yesterday and last evening and the governor race here in Wisconsin. Today's election day. Happy election day. Get out and vote. If you haven't voted absentee or you haven't mailed it in, that kind of thing, or in-person absentee, get out there and vote. Remember that people look at numbers of voters as indicators of enthusiasm for your party. So even if you think, well, there aren't a lot of contested races in my party that I care about, there are some. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Tim Michaels is very lucky that this search didn't happen 3 or 4 days ago. Trump endorsed him at the Waukesha Fairgrounds Friday evening, and Michaels exulted in that. I think he wouldn't have exulted as much if that night Trump had been subject to a search warrant in his home for stealing top secret documents that could have compromised American security around the world. Question is, how much spillover will it have? People are still digesting it today. Republicans are saying, well, they're rallying around Trump, saying that the FBI should be crushed. That's Paul Gosar. That the FBI should be investigated and restructured. according to Republican supervision. In other words, politicized by the Republicans, says Kevin McCarthy. The various people on Fox are simply attacking it as a politicized arm of the Democratic Party. You know, the kill shot for Tucker Carlson and Jesse Waters, the kill shot for them is treason, but there's a problem with that. If there were a declaration of war against Russia right now, they'd both be in prison. And if there were a shooting war and Americans are being killed, they'd be executed. But you can't imprison and execute someone for treason if there's no formal declaration of war. The best you can do is get them for seditious conspiracy. And for seditious conspiracy, that probably requires some act in addition to words. In other words, if a guy got up, even in 1943, and gave a pro-Nazi speech in New York City at a rally, and there were people who did that in Milwaukee, believe it or not, they probably could not be arrested for treason without some overt act in connection with it, much less sedition now. So Tucker Carlson and Jesse Waters have avoided their kill shot, treason and sedition so far, but they are treasonous and they are seditionists. And it's going to be very interesting to see in these primaries, you have these Trump people still around the country who are endorsed by Trump, who are anti-American, who would destroy our democracy, take our country into fascism. And they've won some primaries, but will they after this search? We've got to see that. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us from Monday, Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. Lots and lots of things going on this Tuesday morning. Hey, Jeannie, great call as always. I love listening to her. If I was Rebecca Clayfish, I'd be pretty happy this morning. But right. I don't know why the Republican Party don't just say, hey, we've had enough of Trump, because several of these organizations, I guess they want to go to war against the United States or something like that. But I'm going to go quickly, and I think you'll probably talk about it in the next hour, the more happier side of things. Joe Biden is going to go down as the greatest president in my lifetime, and the reason for that, he's had to clean up this mess that Trump left, and it was a mess. And he still has people in the government trying to put the kibosh on things. But this, I'm sure you're talking about, but this reconciliation bill, it's awesome. It's awesome for seniors, lower drug prices, and the climate. And who would ever thought we'd have got this much good things done in such a short time? Because it's very much like Harry Truman said, the Republicans are a do-nothing party, and they're on board with treason. So I just wanted to point that out. You've been right all along about Biden. He is a wonderful president. And like you say, go out and vote today. I am going to vote for Pete Bucarsi because he advertised in your great, great station. And without you guys, this truth wouldn't be getting out there today. So thanks for your show, Matt. Wonderful job. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Paul. I always love your calls. And you always have it right on the money, what you have to say. I'll tell you what. Two things. You always remind me, and I need reminding, to talk about the good stuff. You know, I'm the watchdog. I'm the goalkeeper that points out what the Republicans are doing, what the Ruskies are doing, the Chaikoms, the Norks, Iranians, jihadists, that kind of thing. And a lot of that has to be said. But you point out the good stuff. Joe Biden is a good man. He's done a good job, very good job as president. What happened was our alliances were in tatters after Trump because he was seen as a Russian agent. Now, Biden got the NATO put back together, sort of a mini NATO in the Pacific. He has to contain China. He pushed through this budget reconciliation bill that was unthinkable a week ago, a month ago, unthinkable. But he pushed it through. And you know something? It is a monumental bill. We'll be able to negotiate for bulk discounts on medications, saving a lot of money. We'll add forensic accountants and lawyers who can collect about $1 trillion over 10 years of crooked tax evasion. But the Republicans, it was very simple under George W. Bush. They simply fired a lot of accountants and lawyers and didn't replace them. So the reason you didn't get audited is because you had no auditors. Very sneaky tactic under George W. Bush. And but beyond that, climate, 40% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030 as a result of this. And somehow we got Manchin on board on that. Tax reforms. I'm still angry at cinema. Wall Street got to her. They stripped out any attack on the carried interest exception. So hedge funds and venture capital firms don't pay income tax, no matter how much money they make. You pay income tax. I pay income tax. They don't pay income tax. They got their income designated as carried interest. So they pay half your rate. Like oil well diggers and paper companies who plant trees and they don't see a return on those trees for 20 years. Oil companies will drill 50 wells and there's 49 dry holes and one gusher. Hedge funds and venture capital firms go, that's just like us. They take no risks. They sit in a restaurant in Manhattan. They have three computers, three secretaries. They place bets. They place bets on derivatives, swaptions, the short things. And if they blow up the whole fund and lose all your money, they still get 2% of what it started out as, 2%. And if they make these crazy bets, it's a casino, and they do a little better than the S&P 500, they get 2% plus 1.5% for anything over the S&P 500 return. They got to cinema. She's no good. At least she votes for Manchin rather than Moscow Mitch to organize the Senate. And occasionally we get a vote out of her. We got to have a couple of more senators. She and Manchin are jackalopes. They're not antelopes. They're not jackasses. They're jackalopes. They're neither fish nor fowl. We need Democrats. But in the Republican gubernatorial race, Rebecca Clayfish, you can't have her as governor. You can't have Tim Michaels as governor. You can't have her and Rampton. Rampton just came out and said he contests the primary in advance. He said this yesterday, the day before the primary. Clayfish said, I'm going to fire the DA of Milwaukee County when I get in. John Chisholm is the best DA in Wisconsin, one of the best in the country. They will attack Milwaukee. And then this clown, they say, well, she'll do well in the Milwaukee area. Don't vote for her. Believe me, don't vote for her. Or Michael's around. We're going to a break. Getting worked up. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. And it seems